Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4, and I want to begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible said, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan." Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word tonight. Let's look to him in just a moment of prayer and ask God's help. Still our hearts around the word of God and help us tonight as we preach. And you know, I still believe in preaching. I still believe that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I still believe God's people can have victory today. And if I did not hang up my Bible and lay it down, lay it aside and quit preaching, but I still believe God's people can walk in victory and have the victory God wants us to have in the house of God and in his work. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for what you did this morning. Lord, just a little taste of glory divine. We thank you for it and praise you for it. But tonight is another time, another hour. And Lord, thy grace is needed one more time. For we're always in need of the grace and the mercy of God. There's not a second goes by during the day, Lord, that we do not need thee. And as we sang tonight, Lord, we need thee every hour. Every hour we need thee. So I pray that you'll show up again tonight. Manifest yourself to us in a wonderful, glorious way. Bless us with liberty, I pray. I pray you'll bless those tonight, Father, that are homesick and those that have the flu, those that are recovering from surgery, those, Lord, that have other ailments and so forth, our little ones that are sick, God help them. They're so little to be sick. And I pray for them. You touch their bodies. I pray, Father, for those that are here tonight, that you'd save sinners. And God, that you'd rejoice the hearts of your people. I pray for liberty and power. I pray that we'd not quench nor grieve the Holy Ghost of God. That, Lord, you'd do great and mighty things that we know not of tonight. Give us liberty now and power to preach. And we'll thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. All right. As I mentioned a moment ago, I believe it was last Wednesday night, I preached out of verse number 24 and preached there on the thought where it said his fame went throughout all Syria. And I preached on the fame of Jesus. Tonight, I want to stay in this text for a little while, God being my helper, and preach for a little while on the followers of Jesus. Not necessarily the fame of Jesus, but the followers of Jesus. If I read correctly, I believe that it's mentioned at least three times in the text, and I may go over that again just in a minute and probably will. But let me say by way of introduction that the followers of Christ are commonly called disciples. I'm not talking about the disciples of Christ when it comes to the church of Christ. I don't mean to say this in a derogatory manner, and I mean that. I don't say it in an ugly way. But I don't believe they're disciples of Christ. They preach a false doctrine, a false religion, and I'm confident that they are not followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not disciples of Christ. But they're commonly known as disciples. Now, the meaning of that word is to learn. And certainly as his disciples, his followers, God wants you and I to learn the ways of our Lord. He expects us to study the Bible. Can you believe that? He doesn't only expect the man of God, but he also expects the people that are sitting in the pews to study the Word of God. I know he told a preacher to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But in the same manner, every child of God that is a follower of Christ ought to be a student of the Word of God. We ought to learn that Bible. And we ought to be a scholar to some degree. And I'm not talking about some educated idiot, but I am talking about learning the Word of God and being able to give every man an answer for the faith that lies within us. We ought to have know enough about the Bible to tell somebody why we believe the Bible, why we believe the King James Bible, and how we know that we're saved and how we got saved if they want to know. We ought to be able to tell them a little bit about the blood of Christ. We ought to be able to tell them a little bit about justification, sanctification, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said, not an educated idiot, but a scholar of the Word of God. Also, the meaning of that is one who receives or professes to receive instruction from another. And you know, I praise God for the fact that He still instructs His children. God's not left us to ourselves. There's many parents tonight that have basically left their children to themselves. But I'm glad that God will never leave you and I to ourselves. And I agree with what Brother Steve said this morning. There are times that He withdraws from us to let us see what's within our heart. But when I say God departing from us or God leaving us and stop instructing us, God will never do that. The very fact that He does withdraw Himself from time to time to reveal to us what is in our heart is a fact that shows that He is giving us instruction from the Word of God. And we'd do well to take heed to that instruction tonight from God's Word. And so instruction from another. That instruction comes from Jesus. His book is the Bible. Enlightenment comes from the Holy Spirit. And His voice comes from the man of God that preaches the gospel of Christ and the witness of His people that have been redeemed by the grace of God. Now, they're called followers and are adherent to the doctrines of another. We believe in the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't live by the doctrines of Allah. Or Muhammad, or I don't live by the doctrines of some of these Asian cults. I live by the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I don't live by the doctrine of some of the cults in America. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly, but there are a number of religions in America that are no more a cult. Now, and again, I'm not being critical, don't mean to sound ugly, but if there is someone preaching that there's any other way to be saved, and any other way to be kept other than through the blood of the Lord Jesus, they are a cult in my book. Now, you can mark quote me as saying that. I don't mind saying that at all. If you deny the sufficiency of the blood of the Lord Jesus to save a man and to keep a man, you have denied the faith and have become worse than an infidel. Somebody say amen right there. Now, hence the contrast. Attendants of Christ were called disciples. And so all Christians are called His disciples. Not just the apostles, not just the preachers, but all Christians are called the disciples of Christ as they profess to learn and receive His doctrines and His precepts. Now, I want to go ahead and I want to try to hurry if I can. In our text, that word follow, as I mentioned a while ago, or followed, is mentioned at least three times and being referenced to as those that follow, not just followers, but those that follow Christ. In fact, in our text, about Peter and Simon and how they were there at the ship casting their net. And Jesus passed by and said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible said, and straightway they left their nets and they followed Him. In other words, they became disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the two sons of Zebedee mended their nets, and the Lord straightway He called them, and straightway they left their ship and their father and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the third place is in the last verse of the chapter, verse number 25, where he mentions the fact that there followed him great multitudes. And these multitudes come from many different places. And you know what? I'm amazed tonight, and I'm satisfied of this, that anywhere the gospel is being preached, there are some disciples of Christ. Wherever the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God is being preached, there are those that are going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrines and the precepts of this Bible. They are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? But what about those followers? What kind of people are they that follow the Lord Jesus? And how did they become followers of Christ? How did they become followers of Christ? Were all the followers truly born again? That was a question that was asked me on Wednesday night. Were all those people that were healed, were they born again children of God? Well, I'm going to answer that question tonight. I think I'm going to answer that and satisfy that question tonight. But were they all truly born-again children of God? These are some questions that I hope to answer as we go through the Word of God tonight. Now, I've got a very simple outline. I'm a very simple preacher. And so I've got a very simple outline. But I want to say, first of all, that those that follow Christ, that they're called people. Now, folks, that don't sound very deep to you and I, that they're called people. But it might be a little bit deeper than what you and I think. The Bible said there in verse 19 to Simon and Andrew, he saith unto them, follow me. I believe the word saith there, he called them. He said unto them, follow me. And in saying that, he said, follow me. And to James and John, he called them, and immediately they left the ship and their father, and they followed them. He said something to Simon and Andrew, but he called James and John, and they all left what they were doing and began to follow Christ. I have no earthly idea what the multitudes in verse 25 were doing, but the Bible said that there were great multitudes there that followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they are called. Now listen carefully what I'm getting ready to tell you. I say first and foremost that followers of Christ are called unto salvation. If you have never been called unto salvation, you can just write this down. You have never been saved. Somebody said, preacher, are you talking about an audible voice? No, I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm talking about the convicting power of the Spirit of God working in a man's life and the Holy Ghost drawing a man to the Lord Jesus that he might find his way to the Father and be saved by the grace of God. And salvation is a call. I'm going to tell you, people don't just decide one day that they're going to get saved and get saved. If you've got that idea, you've got the wrong idea. You're not going to just decide to get saved. Peter, James, and John didn't just decide to get saved. God passed by where they were and called them by the grace of God, and they were gloriously saved by His wonderful grace. Oh, we got people today that think that I can get saved any time that I want to. No, I believe in whosoever will salvation, but I don't believe in a whosoever will salvation. There's only one time to get saved, and that's when the waters are being stirred, friend. Like that cripple at the pool of Bethesda. Just when the waters are being stirred is the only time that a sinner will get saved. Now, you got to be careful preaching like I'm preaching. Folks will call you a Calvinist. But I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. I'm a Baptist. But I will say this, that men only get saved through the convicting, convincing, and converting power of the Spirit of God. Friend, if you climbed up any other way than that way, you're a thief and a robber. And the reason being that you're called that way is because you're depraved in your sin. You're depraved in trespasses and sin. And it is beyond your ability to get to God. God must come to you. And if He does not come to you, you will die in your sin. And where He is, you will never get there. That's what the Bible said. Brother Hall didn't say that. That's what the Bible said. And so they're first called to salvation. Now, I'm going to tell, that's right. And a disciple of Christ, there's a lot of people trying to learn the Bible, and they can't learn the Bible. They think they know a lot of Bible, but they make fools out of themselves. Amen. Every time they open their mouth, they make a fool out of themselves because they make statements that's not according to the Word of God. Right. I'd be careful of what I'm saying about the Bible, not knowing what I'm actually saying. Get yourself in trouble like that one day. You tell a lot of people who you are if you're not careful. I've had a lot of people do that since I've been pastoring. They'll run their mouth about things they don't know anything about, and they'll tell on themselves. Amen. Amen, that's right. But I'm telling you, if you know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, if you know that you've been to Calvary, you don't have to worry about how you got there or think about how you got there. You will have a clear understanding who brought you there and how you got there by the grace of God. And you didn't get there on your own strength, friends. Amen. I don't know a sinner yet's been saved any other way outside the blood of Christ. I don't give a flip what they say about baptism. I don't give a flip what they say about tongues. I don't care what they say about communion. I don't care what they say about work. It is by grace through faith, and that's it. It's the way God calls people. He calls them. Paul said, "You're called through my gospel." I didn't write the Bible, I preach it. But if I got to turn there and prove it, the Bible says that, I can do it. Amen. Paul says they're called unto salvation through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, we want to minimize preaching today. Sinners are still called through preaching. I don't know how God does it, but somehow when that Word of God leaves the heart and the mouth of that preacher, somewhere in the air, as it did on the day of Pentecost, God translates that word and empowers it by His Holy Ghost, causing it to fall upon the hearts of men and women to save them by His marvelous word. Now see, the miracle on Pentecost was not the fact that the men spoke in tongues. The miracle was that every man heard them in his own language. That was the miracle of Pentecost. Somewhere between the lips of Peter and their ears, God translated what Peter said in Hebrew to their ears in the language that they spoke. That was the miracle on the day of Pentecost. That's biblical. Amen. Now I want to say number two. God not only called, followers of Christ are first called to salvation, but followers of Christ are called in the service. Amen. No man, I heard a preacher in a camp meeting lately talk about how that he just started preaching and God didn't stop him, so he kept on. Well, he'd have been better off, sit down and shut up. Amen. Right. Amen. I'm gonna say this tonight, and people might be listening. I hope they are. I really do. I hope they are listening. But you know, my wife got an email tonight from a preacher rebuking her about something she said. And, you know, I don't think too much about men being on women's email groups to start with, unless they're a little feminine. He might be a Twinkie bird himself and not know it. If I write back to him, that's what I'm going to tell him. Amen. Rebuking my wife told her that, you know, that she oughtn't to rebuke an elder. Well, I've got news for you. If a man has got married to a woman that's got two living husbands, I doubt that he's an elder. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Amen. I know that's right. And I'm going to tell you, man, don't want me to get mad at him, because I'm telling you, you wouldn't like me if I get upset about my wife. You better say amen to that right there. I told my wife I was a recon sergeant in Vietnam. I can find him if I have to. Amen. That's right. Amen, Brother Jerome. I'd preach to him. Needs preaching to, praise God, man needs help. But I'm telling you, men are called into God's service. And it don't just have to be preachers. God calls all men and women into His service. Just different places in that service God calls us. Aren't you glad God didn't call us all to preach? It'd be a mess. Can you imagine if the whole church stood up tonight and went to preaching? But God calls men and women to do different things. God's got different gifts to give to people. Some of you have got gifts to do things that I couldn't do in a million years. There's no way. And I'm positive of that. But God calls us into service. Notice what He said in verse 19. And He saith unto them, that is unto Peter, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew's brother, He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say they already were. I will make you fishers of men. That is a disciple. What He's saying is, I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. You're trying to catch fish now, but I'm going to teach you how to be a fisher for men, and you're going to have to learn that. Amen. And He called them into service. And when He did, they became servants of the Lord. Brother Paul said he was a bond servant of the Lord. And I marvel at the blessing of being a servant. You know, we go to restaurants a lot of time, and a lot of people, and some people I don't want to go to a restaurant with. They're always going to chew out the waitress and make you feel about that tall. And I don't like that. They're grumpy about the food. They're grumpy about the service. They're grumpy about the coffee. And I don't like that. I think we ought to be nice to people. Amen? That's exactly right. I think we ought to be nice to people. I think about King David. We think of a servant as being somebody that's kind of lowly, not very important in this life. But I want you to know that a servant is very important in this life. David, before he wrote Psalm number 18, he was king of all Israel. And he wrote down these words to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. David could have simply wrote down the king of all Israel. But I'm telling you, he found it a greater blessing to be a servant of God than to be the king of all Israel. And friends, there is nothing second class about being a servant. Praise God, a servant is one that is closest to his master. Amen. You'll get a hold of that after a while by slow mail. That servant, a doorkeeper, whatever he might be, he's got access to the master that nobody else has got. Amen. You tell me. I'm just telling you that they've got door greeters in the White House, and there ain't nobody supposed to get to that president till they go through that person at the door. Amen. Now that person at the door's got direct contract. So let me ask you something. Who's the closest? The big wheel coming in or the servant at the door? I'll tell you who is. The servant at the door. Woo! What a blessing to be a servant of God. Thank God that means we dwell in the same house together, that we're in the same service together, that we labor together. What a blessing it is to be called a servant of the Lord. I won't say thirdly, that followers of Christ are first called to salvation, then they're called into service. But followers of Christ are also called into sanctification, separation. And you can just write that down. God's not going to save somebody and let them live in sin. And sanctification and separation are two different things. Sanctification sets us apart in a holy way for service of God. Sanctification sets us apart from other sinners and from sin. And I guarantee He's going to call us into that sanctified and holy life. As Brother Steve said in Sunday school this morning, friend, if you've never been through any trials and temptation and tribulation, you really don't know what you're missing. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't ever want to go there. Well, I'll tell you they're not fun and I don't appreciate it, but I'll tell you it's in that valley of trial and temptation where God trims off the rough edges on you and I and makes a smooth stone out of us that God can use in that house that He has built it full of lively stones. Somebody say amen. That's right. Praise God, He trims off the rough edges when we go through them. And you know why? Every time we go through one of those trials or tribulations, God helps us to see exactly what we are. And man don't want to look at himself. We don't want to examine ourselves. We're afraid of what we might see. But it don't hurt to take a quick examination every now and then and take a quick look at yourself and see what kind of shape you're in. I'm going to tell you, most of us would look, when we got done looking, we'd have to say, great day in the morning. How can God ever love me? I'm amazed at how God loves me. I know me better than you know me. And I'm telling you, I'm amazed how God can love me. But He does, Brother Rickard. I know He does. Because Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but the life I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God that loved me, thank God, and gave Himself for me. I started to tell little Holly up there this morning. I never did get around to it. The Lord never gave me liberty to say it. But almost said, Miss Holly, why don't you look at John 3:16 and just say, for God so loved Miss Holly that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Miss Holly would believe on Him, He'd give unto her everlasting life. Whoa, you can just put your name in that whosoever will, friend. You better believe you can. Hallelujah to His wonderful name. I'm glad. Yes, amen. And I'm telling you, I'm glad God loves us enough to sanctify us and make us a holy vessel that is meet for His use in this world. Amen. I'm glad He separates us too. Aren't you glad, bless God, He calls us to that? When He calls us out, He calls us in, just like He did Noah. Called Noah out of the world, called Noah into the ark. He calls us out of the world, into Christ. Amen. And there He sanctifies us, sets us apart as a holy vessel. Yes. Then He begins to separate us and to sanctify us more perfectly.
Amen.
As He takes us through trials and shows us what's in our heart.
Yes.
Oh, and I'm telling you, every time we go through that trial, every time we go through that valley, just a little more here and a little bit there, here a little, there a little. And I'm telling you, most people don't even know what's going on. They can't see it, but others can see it in them. Amen. I can see it in some of you. It's plain as day. I can see what God's doing, what God's done. Me and Brother Steve was talking the other day, and I floored him. I said, Brother Steve, I believe right now I know more about you and you know more about yourself. He said, huh? I said, I know more about what God wants you to do and what you want to know, what you know yourself. He said, come on, preacher, don't tell me that.
Amen.
Sometimes God will show us what He wants and we just don't want to do it.
Amen.
You know what we are? We are B-U-L-L headed.
Amen.
We're stubborn. But I'm telling you, God will lead us through the valleys and show us the lily. God will lead us through the desert and show us the rose. God will lead us through dry places and dig us a well. God will lead us through dark days and make the sun to shine. Amen. God will lead us through bad times and make good times out of it. God's able to do that as He sanctifies and separates our life unto Him.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you the reason a lot of people can't get peace from God. They're not separated like they ought to be.
Amen.
And I don't always put emphasis on... It's been a long time since I've had to preach on dress apparel. But I'm going to tell you something. I do believe God wants women to dress right.
Amen.
I believe God wants women to cover up their naked bodies.
Amen.
I don't believe God wants women wearing tight-fitting clothes where it shows every wrinkle and every bulge and every knot. And by the way, men, I don't think God wants you wearing Bermuda shorts.
Amen.
I don't think God wants you wearing tank tops.
Amen.
Come on in the house, boys and girls.
Amen.
I still believe the woman's hair is her glory.
Amen.
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 I don't believe I'm like the preacher used to be at the Sword years ago. What was his name? John R. Rice. He preached on bobbed hair, bossy wives, and women preachers.
Amen.
I don't like none of that. I don't like that trio at all.
Amen.
Don't think it's right. But I'm telling you, God calls us into separation. We are not to look like that world out there. I just read loud, and I shouldn't, somebody told me not to get ahead of myself in the book. But I just read through Vanity Fair last night with Old Christian and Faithfulness, where faithful died. And you know something? Them people told him, said, why are you dressed like you're dressed? Said, you look outlandish. Said, you don't look like you belong here. You look like you belong somewhere else. And old Faithful said, we don't dress the way you dress because we're not of your world.
Amen.
We're from another city. We're not from this city.
Right.
And when God called us out of the city of destruction, He taught us how to wear the right kind of apparel.
Amen.
So we not going to look like you. Now I thought, boy, I'm telling you, Christians today would take that approach. Hallelujah. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, hey, are you listening to me? I'm saying we're followers of Christ. There ought to be a holy life that backs it up. And holiness is not only on the outside. It's on the inside as well. There ought not to be any animosity in anybody's heart toward anybody else. There ought not to be. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? There ought to be any jealousy in our heart. Amen. Come on now. Come on now. And I hope Brother George will understand what I'm saying. I forgot about that. Didn't have time to get back to on that question. But I can give you my answer. I still think my answer is right. I think brothers and sisters, we're not to have natural affection to one another. We're to love one another. We are to love one another. Amen. That's what the Bible says. There's a difference between affection and love, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? We're to love each other. That's a problem in our Baptist churches today. If we don't love one another, we're not going to forgive one another. And if we're not willing to forgive one another, I'm telling you, like Brother Steve said this morning, God will not forgive us. Come on in the house, children. Praise God. Amen. And so followers of Christ are called into sanctification and salvation. Sanctification and separation. John 17:17, a familiar passage. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Yep.
Then I want to say followers of Christ are called to suffer. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but a little time. Paul said in Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Paul said in Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. In other words, Paul said there in Colossians 1:24, Christ's suffering is not over. The head suffers no more, but the body that's on earth. Oh, yes, we're to fill up the sufferings of Christ. Hey, it's not only given us to believe on Him, but to suffer for His name. Are you listening to what I'm saying? A lot of people say, all you got to do is believe in everything. It's happy, happy, happy from there on out. And it's health and wealth. That bunch of liars on television, I'm afraid, unless they get right with God, they're all going to hell. Amen. I don't believe in that health and wealth junk. Go tell that to Paul. Paul, the only thing he ever complained about was a thorn. He never said a thing about drowning, almost drowning. So it was just mentioned about drowning 3 or 4 times. Being robbed, stoned, left for dead. He never said a whole lot about that. But that's part of it. What are you going to do about Jeremiah? Had a broken heart. Paul had a thorn. Jeremiah had a broken heart. All right, listen. And he suffered with that broken heart. They let him down in a well, a dry well, a muddy well, and he gommed up in that mud plumb to the armpits.
Amen.
For the word of Christ. What about the beloved John on the Isle of Patmos that wrote the book of the Revelation from there? He was there for the word of God and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there suffering for Christ's sake, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
So I think about Paul and I think about Jeremiah and his broken heart. I think about poor old Stephen. Stephen was stoned to death. for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
I don't know any modern day people that's been stoned lately, except in foreign countries, and they still do it over there. Cut off their hands and their fingers. They'd start cutting off the hands and fingers of some of these stinking thieves over here, bless God. They'd lighten up a little bit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're looking at a preacher that believes if you pay the crime, pay the time, buddy.
Amen.
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 That's right. Somebody said, why didn't you pay your time? Well, never got caught. But I'm simply saying that we live in a society, friend, that is letting up on judgment. Amen.
Amen.
I think about Job and about Job's trials. I think about the suffering that Job went through. I can't even comprehend the fact of losing my wealth, my family. Everything that I have in one day, I can't comprehend that.
Amen.
But he lost it all. All but his wife. And I assume he had his house. Had no cattle, they were gone. Had no children, they were gone. Lost it all. Sat down in ashes. Even broke out in boils and began to scrape himself with a potsherd to try to find relief from the pain of those boils. Oh, I'm telling you how Job suffered. No man. And he began to get irritated with that. At first, he took it quite well. And we will take suffering quite well at first. But the longer it lingers, the more irritated we get with it. And the more we want to lash out about it. And we will if we're not careful. I mean, if we got aching and pain in our body, we'll get fed up with it. And we'll start taking our spite out on other people if we're not careful. Generally, it's our husband or our wife. Ask Mrs. Hall if you don't believe me. Amen. And what I'm saying is right. But I'm thankful that at the end, oh, God bless Job twice as much. Thank God for the suffering. Thank God for the valley. Thank God for the trouble. Because at the close of it, God blessed him abundantly more than what he had when he started. God never takes you through testing time and deprives you of anything that he didn't intend to give you something better in its place. He'll never take something away from you that he won't give you something better in his place.
Amen.
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 That's right. That runs all through the Bible. God's a good God.
Yes.
Amen. Then I want to say, not only are they called people, but they're also common people. Look at verse 25. The Bible said, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea beyond Jordan. It doesn't say anything about what kind of people they were. But I doubt if there were too many governors there. I doubt if there were too many statesmen there. Probably wasn't very many politicians, not too many doctors, not too many lawyers. If I understand anything at all about the Bible, I'd say that they were just mostly, for the most part, that they were just common people. Just like it says in Matthew 12:37, the common people heard him gladly.
Amen.
It was people just like you and I here at Island Ford Baptist Church. I'm thankful. Hey, I don't ever want to, nor do I ever intend to, I'm too old to start with, to ever think about trying to preach in one of the big churches. I wouldn't make it.
Amen.
I'm not their stripe.
Amen.
I'm a country boy. Raised in the briars on the hills of southern Indiana, ran through the thickets and the briars and the thorns of southern Indiana. I'm a country boy. And I wouldn't fit in with that uptown crowd, boy. I'm just a common Joe. Where's he at? Andrew over at the house the other night, painting. I looked at Amanda over the other night. They sat down to eat something. They raised their feet up on the sofa, and on the bottom of their feet was as black as tar and had white paint gommed all over it. I said, my goodness, did you kids ever wash your feet? And the thought hit me when I said that. Remember when you was a boy? Ooh, don't get me started, Lord. You better believe when I was a boy running around barefoot, friend, son, I could run through some of them briars barefooted back then. Hallelujah, just a common boy. Don't know what it was to have much in my life. But I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I'm amazed when I read in the Bible that God said, not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise are called. For God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the wise. That amazes me how God has called common people to be His followers. There's not too many wealthy people following Christ. There's a lot of wealthy people in church. There ain't many of them learners, followers. They're there for a show. I remember back when we were starting this liquor. Some of them was members in particular large churches in the community. Some of them has already applied for a liquor license. And were deacons in the Baptist churches in our community. Can you imagine that? You won't tell me they're a follower of Christ. They've never been called to salvation, much less service, folks. They're filling a pew on Sunday morning to make themselves look good, to fit into the community. I'm not trying to make myself look good to nobody. Trying to be obedient to Christ. I trust that's what you're doing. Well, I don't see no multimillionaires in this crowd. If you are, you've got me fooled. If you have, would you consider loaning us about 10 grand? Amen. All right, I better move on. Those common people there in verse number 25, they heard. They had to hear. They were with him and they heard. That's faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. They heeded what they heard. They lived what they had already heard. And I'm telling you, friend, hey, hearing the Word of God, if that's all we ever do, will not help us one iota. I'll tell you what James said. He said, be ye doers of the Word of God and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. There's a lot of folks today that are deceiving themselves. They're hearing, but they're not heeding what they hear in that Bible. Amen. I'm afraid they're lost.
Amen.
They're lost. They hear, but they've never heeded. And I'm telling you, them followers also and them common people, they held to Christ. They clave unto Him. But I'm telling you, once you find Christ, you're not going to let Him go. Somebody said, well, I've heard people believe in losing their salvation say, well, He won't let you go, but you can get out of His hand. They got a big jump. If he scooped out the oceans with His hand and carved the rivers with His fingers, He's got pretty good sized hands. A man would have to be a pretty good broad jumper to get out of it, wouldn't he? That's just not the case, folks. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Bless His wonderful name. Thanks be unto God. I'm glad that when a man gets in, he's in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, you don't have to worry about a man that gets saved leaving him. He'll cleave unto him. That's what Barnabas told him when he went down to Antioch. He encouraged them, exhorted them to cleave unto Christ. And that's exactly what they did. It wasn't about to turn loose the best thing that ever happened to them. Would you? Would you turn loose of the best thing ever happened to you? Man, be a fool, wouldn't he?
Amen.
To turn loose of the best thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah.
I've heard some of you men and women testify, thank God you got married and got who you got, and you ain't going to turn loose of them. I like that. Amen.
Right.
Cleave unto them.
Amen.
That's right. That's what we need to do to the Lord.
Yeah.
Cleave unto the Lord. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:27, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men, not after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. Then I want to answer one of those questions I got on Wednesday night. I want to say that carnal people follow Christ. Carnal people. Is anybody getting anything? Everybody go to sleep? Everybody die? I want to say that carnal people follow Christ. It says followers three times in our text, but carnal people follow Christ. You know, in John 6, as the Lord began His discourse on the bread of life, in John chapter number 6, He said there in verse number 24, said, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither His disciples, they took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, listen to what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled.
Amen.
Labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto thee. What Jesus is telling that crowd is, hey, he said, the only reason you're following me is because I give you some daily provisions. I give you food. You're not interested in the miracle. I'm amazed at how many people are not interested in the miracle of salvation. Oh, what a miracle. It is a miracle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is a miracle when God dispatches the Holy Ghost into a little congregation of people and moves with deep conviction on heart and lets young boys and girls and men and women see their sin and realize without God they are frying hell for all of their life and cause them to turn to Christ. That's a miracle. You know why it's a miracle? Because the human heart's stubborn. The human heart's rebellious. The human heart is self-willed and on its own it will not come to Christ. It takes God to draw them, buddy.
Amen.
I'm in the Bible, too. So they followed Him, not for the miracle they saw, but they followed Him for the loaves that they eat. In other words, they sought only their temporal needs. You'd be amazed at people that try to join the church up and never get saved. All they're interested in is temporal things. They want what God can do for them now. I've heard people get in trouble, lost people, and the first thing comes out of their mouth, oh, God, help me. They've never been to church. They've never bowed their knee to Christ. They've never given a dime to the work of God. But the first thing comes out of their mouth when they need help, oh, God, help me! And they think He owes it to them. I don't say nothing. I don't say this to be ugly. And if I know some people hear me, I'll be contradicted and reprimanded for it. But I'm going to tell you, God knows what He's doing when those earthquakes came in Chile and those earthquakes came down in Haiti. God knows exactly what He's doing. He hadn't made any mistakes. They hadn't made any mistakes. God knows what He's doing. And then people hollering, God help us. God help us. Oh, if they'd only hollered, God help us. 2 days earlier. They'd only hollered, God help us, 30 minutes earlier. It don't take that long for a sinner to get saved. Immediately. Immediately Christ will save a sinner if He calls on Him. They waited too long to call. If I was in here tonight, I wouldn't wait too long to call. If He's called, you better answer. He's not obligated to call, but if He does call, buddy, you better answer. He may never call again. He may never call again. That's sad to say and hard to say, but it's true. He may never call again. There's so many people that are just looking for a loaf of bread, looking for their temporal needs to be met. That is what they can get out of God now. And they just wanted a quick fix, not a remedy. A lot of people not looking for a remedy. That old boy sat in my office the other day, and I'm so proud of him. I wish he was here tonight. He's sitting there, and he said, Preacher, he said, I'm sick of the life I'm living. He said, I'm just telling you, I'm not looking for a foxhole profession. He said, my life is messed up, and I admit it. And said, I have nobody to blame but me, and I'm not looking for a quick fix. He said, I don't want to make some stupid, a foolish profession of faith and never get anything. He said, I want what's real.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people, they want what they can get now from God. Temporal things. Temporal blessings. But they fail. And the reason they do that, they're without faith and they fail and cannot see beyond this life into the next life. And realize that our blessings are stored up and reserved in heaven for us, ladies and gentlemen. Bless His wonderful name. They wanted a quick fix. They didn't want a remedy. They had no real love for Christ and His person, but only sought Him for their earthly provisions. That's all, no real love for Christ. I want to say number four, that they that follow Christ They're cross-bearing people. They're cross-bearing people. That's exactly right.
Amen.
Jesus said unto His disciples, He said, if any man come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Cross-bearers. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. Now I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You mark it down, if you're saved, there's a cross to bear.
Yeah.
When Brother Paul said he was crucified with Christ, that's exactly what he meant.
Amen.
Every one of us in here that's saved has got a cross.
Amen.
Sing that old song, take up thy cross and follow, follow Me. Now, I don't know what your cross is, and you probably don't know what mine is. But I'm telling you, the load gets heavy on all of us from time to time. Now, I'm telling you, we better help one another from time to time. We better encourage one another from time to time. Because if we're truly saved, we all bear that load, plus the other burdens of life that we carry. But we're going to carry that cross.
Amen.
We'll carry that cross to the grave. That's right.
Amen.
And I'll tell you some of those crosses, Brother Troy, they get a hold of a man's heart or a woman's heart. They break our heart and cause us to grieve. Some of those crosses we have to carry, maybe lost children,
Amen.
Lost loved ones, and we carry that thing and carry that thing till it weighs heavy on our heart, and we weep and we weep and we pray and we pray. And I'm going to tell you, we think we'll never see any daylight. But oh, I'm telling you, you just stay with God.
Amen.
You got them children that's lost. You stay with the Lord. Now I'm telling you, there'll come a day when God will open the blinded eyes of our children. Somebody said, how do you know that? God said He would. That's how I know it. God said so in the Bible. That's how I know it. For whatsoever things you ask in My name, believe it, it will, not maybe could be, it will be done unto you.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, I don't know what cross. It may be a sickness. It may be a physical affliction. I don't know. But it's a cross to bear. It may be the loss of a spouse. The loss of a loved one. The loss of a child. I have no earthly idea. But I do know there's a cross to carry. There's a cross to carry. In that story of that young ruler, in Luke 18, verse 27, after that young ruler that spoke unto Christ all those words about the law and so forth, when Jesus heard these things, He said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. But He didn't stop there. And come, follow Me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. I want you to notice, you don't need to turn there, but in Mark's story on that, in chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, that young ruler is instructed to come and take up his cross.
Amen.
And follow Me. Take up his cross. I wonder if we got that cross taken up tonight.
Amen.
He said if you come out, you're going to have to take up that cross.
Yep.
And follow. That's what I'm preaching on, follow the cross. And follow Me. And there's no place to lay it down. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's no resting point, and there's no stopping place in a cross bearer's life. And I can say that on the authority of the Word of God. When Christ laid the cross on His back, He may have stumbled, but He never fell. And John said he saw Him bearing His own cross.
Amen.
He carried it all the way to Calvary and laid down on that cross out of His own will and gave His life freely to redeem sinners from the curse of the law and the curse of sin upon them, from the condemnation of the law and the guilt of sin that was upon us. Thank God, I'm glad there's a cure for sin tonight. There's a remedy for sin. And it's Calvary, ladies and gentlemen. It's the precious blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins tonight that is a cure for sin in the lives of men and women, boys and girls. That's the only cure that we have. The only hope that we have is in Him. Amen. Amen. There's hindrances to cross bearing. A lot of people like this young man, they don't want to take up that cross because of money.
Right.
They don't want to give up that moolah.
Right.
That dust means too much to them.
Right.
And they'll go along with God a certain degree in a little ways, and they'll pretend a whole lot and play a whole lot, but they never reach down and pick up that cross. And I'm telling you, I don't care how much you pretend like you love God, if you don't reach down and pick up that cross, you're not a follower.
Amen.
Believe you me, God will show you what that cross is. He'll show you.
Yep.
It could be the lack of desire. Some people just don't desire Jesus enough. Don't have enough love in our heart for Him. Don't desire Him enough to please Him by taking up that cross and coming after Him. Oh, I'm telling you, it could be the lack of determination. God, there's not much determination in our churches anymore.
Amen.
Lord, help us to be more determined to live like Jesus.
Amen.
God, help us to be more determined to get in that Bible and learn that Bible. God, help us to be more faithful. God, help us to be more determined, more dedicated, have a greater desire. We sang that song, My Desire is to be like Him. I wonder how true that is when we sing it. Oh, to be like Jesus. Oh, to be like Him. I'm so glad that He didn't get so weary that He laid down His cross. I'm glad He carried it all the way up Calvary's Hill. And there on the brow of Calvary's Hill, and out over Jerusalem that He loved dearly, and the people that He came to redeem, He yielded His life that they might be saved.
Amen.
But oh, I'm glad that as He looked out over Jerusalem, He lifted His eyes a little higher.
Amen.
Woo! And saw a bunch of Gentile dogs that were depraved and lost in their sin. And said, Lord, I've got others that I've got to bring into this fold also.
Amen.
Thank God, I'm glad He didn't just to come. He didn't just come to redeem the Jew, but I'm glad He had us old Gentile dogs in mind. When He left heaven, it's not a second plan with God. It's always been in the economy and mind of God to save us Gentiles. Woo! Thank God, I take my place among the dogs. Under the table.
Amen.
You want to hear me bark for a crumb? Arf, arf! Praise God. Amen. Bless His name.
Amen.
Isn't He wonderful?
Amen.
Then I want to say finally that followers of Christ are at times compromisers. I'm sad to say that. But it's an absolute fact. Old brother Peter said, Lord, I'll not deny you. All others forsake you, but I'll not deny you. Lord said, Peter, before the cock crows tonight, you'll deny me three times.
Amen.
Peter said, I won't do it. But the Bible said, then took they him, that is Jesus, and led him and brought him to the high priest's house. And Peter followed. Far off.
Man.
Didn't want to get too close. You know why? Just thinking about a little compromise, backing off a little. Why, surely you know him. Surely you know him. I'd say, I don't know the man. Oh, surely you're one of his. You were with him in the garden. I don't know that man. Surely you're one of the 12. Your speech be read. They. I said, blankety, blankety, blank. I don't know that man.
Amen.
Jesus looked at him.
Sure.
And he that followed afar off went out and wept bitterly. And quickly repented.
Amen.
Of his sins. Old brother Peter sat down among the unbelievers when he sat down around that fire. God help us. Now I know we got to associate with unbelievers to some degree. And I'm going to tell you, we don't have to live with that crowd.
Amen.
We don't have to stay in their midst all the time.
Amen.
That's exactly right. You lay around. I'm going to tell you, if you run with the dogs, you'll catch their fleas. It's just that simple.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
He warmed himself by their fire. They had a fire built. He should have been worried about the fire in his own heart.
Amen.
That fire was dwindling, while the fire of a backslidden heart began to glow brightly. He denied the Lord three times. And you know what? I just learned this the other day. He really failed to believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'd be amazed at the compromisers that are followers of Christ. At times they really don't believe exactly everything this book says. They want to believe some things, but not all things. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" He didn't believe it. Jesus said, "Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times." He said, "No, not me." He did not believe what Jesus told him. But he denied him, didn't he? Compromised, didn't he? And I'm going to tell you, there's some people that follow Christ today that will compromise. Because they don't want to be criticized as being too tight.
Amen.
Don't want to be too straight. You don't have to worry. You're sinful enough that you're not going to get too straight. You ain't going to get too holy. Don't worry about it. I told the men in the office this morning, they got sober as a judge. I said, "Gentlemen, I've got a funeral to preach." And everybody just got real quiet. Somebody said, "Whose funeral is it, preacher?" I said, "Kentucky."
Amen.
They said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Their God lost the ball game last night.
Amen.
And Kentucky died over it." You think the cats are not some of their is not the God of some people?
Amen.
I'll guarantee you is, buddy. They are the God of Kentucky. No question about it. The other one's a cardinal. I'm amazed when people make more out of ball game than they do out of Christ.
Amen.
And the newspaper up here will print everything under the sun. Now, I don't care if they're listening or not. Everything under the sun, as liberal as they can possibly print it. But if you write something up there that's got to do with Jesus and call Jesus God and try to get them to believe it through the blood and the blood only, I doubt very seriously that your little column get put in the paper. They don't mind talking about the Maroons and all the fights they had at all the ball games and this and that. They had a brawl in Louisville the other night at a high school basketball game. And somebody got in mad because them cops and police officers was tasing them guys. I wouldn't have tased them once or twice. Bless God, I'd have set their hind end on fire if it had been me. I'd had more lightning bolts shooting through them, bless God, than they can count, I'm telling you. Out there fighting and acting like a pack of fools.
Amen.
Come on in the house. Ain't that silly to argue and fight? We got people over here in Iraq and Afghanistan fighting over some kind of political principle. That's all it is.
Right.
It's a political religious principle.
Right.
They're fighting over it. And there may be some justification to that. But what justification are they fighting over something that big around? And who won it and who lost it?
Right.
You can't justify that.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, even when I played ball and watched ball, son, I never did feel like fighting nobody because I got beat. I cried. I sat down and cried. Simply because I got beat, I can't tolerate losing. I sat down and cried, but I never did want to whip none of them other boys. They was enjoying themselves. They won. If I'd have won, I'd have been shouting it out and having a good time too. It's like they were. See what I'm saying? And by the way, what goes around comes around. Turn about's fair play. It'll happen. It'll be next time. God help us. God help us to be followers of Jesus tonight, folks. Get out of the world. Get the world out of us. And follow Him. Take up our cross. Be cross bearers. Realize that we're going to put that load on us tonight. And we're not going to lay it down until we get home. By the grace and help of God, let's stand together.